Are you excited to get up in the morning and tear into another day? Or do you dread going to work? If you've ever wondered, is that all there is? The Career Clinic is your answer. During this program, you're going to be informed. You're going to be inspired. And you're going to have fun while it happens. We'll help you find work you love and live without regret. Now, here's your host for the Career Clinic, Maureen Anderson.
How many times have you heard, it's not what you know, it's who you know? Am I the only person who thinks, no, it's whom you know? Daryl Anderson, my husband and producer.
Grammar snob.
My guest on the Career Clinic today says both statements are wrong. It isn't what you know or whom you know, it's who knows you. Of anything that gave me fits in a previous career in corporate America, this was it. How do I make sure my bosses know how much I was contributing without coming off as a total sleazebag? It seemed as if there were people doing the work and people posturing about how much work they were doing. I wanted to let my work speak for itself, and maybe you do too. If you hang around for this hour of the show, you are going to learn how to get ahead and still feel good about yourself when your head hits the pillow. My guest is Joel Garfinkel from Garfinkel Executive Coaching. He's been named one of the top 50 coaches in America and has worked with thousands of executives and their employees so successfully, he's written a book on getting ahead. Getting Ahead, Three Steps to Take Your Career to the Next Level. That book is still selling well 2 years after its release. It is a pleasure to have you with us, Joel.
Hey, Maureen. It's great to speak with you. I'm excited to talk about how to not come across as a sleazebag in corporate America and be able to come across as someone who deserves to get the recognition you want and an appreciation you deserve.
When did you realize you were so good at managing your own career, you should be coaching others?
Probably when I started my business about 17 years ago.
What had you been doing?
I was working in... I lived in Asia for 2.5 years. I worked in Hong Kong and was doing project management work and then management consulting work. And just over the years became a workplace expert, really understanding what it takes to be successful in the workplace.
I think a lot of people look at self-promotion the way I did, and probably more women than men, although that's only a guess, that it's just too corporate politicky. And I didn't have the taste for it, and I think that's the profile of someone who's doomed.
It is. Well, you know, it's interesting. I think self-promotion has a bad reputation, just the connotation. It's like saying, what do you do? Well, I sell cars. Well, then an image comes to mind. And when you think about self-promotion, you imagine someone who talks about themselves too much, toots their own horn, boastful, takes credit for other people's work. So then people become, you know, there's a lot of humility that can exist, especially from a culture you grew up from or a family environment or where you came from a location standpoint. That influences who you are, and the humility can undermine your career. So, you know, when I say self-promotion, it's not about beating your chest and screaming how great you are. So I want to really, we're going to make that distinction today, that I'm going to talk about it in a way that I want people to leave understanding that self-promotion actually is a positive entity and something that can help your career.
You don't
need to make a fool of yourself or have people think less of you.
I want to spend most of the program talking about that, but I do want to underscore to begin with just how pervasive the problem is as far as saying anything good about yourself at all or even feeling good about yourself. When our daughter was in, Daryl, was it third grade? Do you remember she won a spelling bee and some kid was overheard telling another kid that Katie Anderson is probably going to start thinking she's all that. Now, what's so interesting to me is her teacher who had overheard this conversation, the person this kid had made the remark to said, "You don't know Katie. She's a sweetheart. She would never let this go to her head." But I'm thinking, third grade, really? We're already worried that somebody's going to think they're okay because they want a spelling bee?
Right, right. It's difficult because then you come from a place of you think that someone's going to get overconfident or mm-hmm. have too much of, you know, I'm so great. So there's a level, I mean, humility can go a long way, but it doesn't hurt to be confident in yourself, know you can do a good job. but you also, you don't need to boast about it and do it in a way that makes people cringe. There's a way to boast about it, the things you accomplish, by bringing the we of the team and talking about how things that you are doing are impacting the bottom line. So, I mean, I'm going to go over specific ways on how to do that. But the key thing I notice is that too often people think, oh, I'll just work hard. I'll let my work speak for itself. If I work hard, that will take care of itself. And then they get to a point in their career where they don't have enough visibility, they don't get noticed, and their career progression comes to an abrasive halt. And that's oftentimes when they're calling me.
Yeah, it's not enough to work hard. Somebody has to know what you're doing.
Exactly.
So it isn't what you know or whom you know. It's who knows you. What do you mean by that?
Well, the key thing is if people don't know you, your work will go unrecognized, and your career then suffers because you'll be overlooked and unnoticed. And this is why it's vital that employees let people know of their achievements and their impact. And it's two-sided. For the employee, they go, as I said, overlooked and unnoticed, which doesn't help their career. And the company has underutilized employees, and that's a major impact on the bottom line for the company.
You say there's a how many step process to keeping your visibility high while not alienating your coworkers. Can you dive into that a little bit?
I think the key thing with you can focus on the things that you do and stick to the facts of what you have achieved and what you are accomplishing. So there's a process of self-promotion. Key thing is you want to discuss the specific steps of the accomplishments you've taken. Because if you make your accomplishments known, then you'll make your value known. And so you get a comment from your boss when you've accomplished something positive. You know, Jerry did a great job on that sales presentation. It resulted in 20% increased profit for the company. You can share things like that. You can share that projects you've worked on that have been successful. You know, break the entire project down to its successful components and share that. So what you're doing is you're talking about the facts. And when you share facts, then it's not personal. It's not about how great I was. It's about the results I achieved.
Who are you sharing that with?
You can share that with your manager. You can get your manager to share that with your boss. You can share it with some of your peers. So it might come during your one-on-ones. You might talk to your boss and say, hey, you know, I had a client recently at a very well-known brand company share his, you know, we went over and he said, I don't know if everyone in the company knows the impact we're having. They worked in the technology area of the company, and they were doing a complete reorg of the technology, and it was the biggest one they've done in 30 years. And so he says, I don't think that many people know what we're doing in the company and how much impact it's having. And so he's put together like five key major impacts they were having, emailed it to his boss. And the CTO took it, shared it with the executive team, and then he came back and he said, this is great. We really appreciate that you shared this. And the CEO even acknowledged how impactful it was that you're doing this for the whole organization. And the CTO said, keep doing this because not enough people share their wins and accomplishments out there in the marketplace. And if you could do this more, then more people know of the value of our group.
It's inspiring to know that things are going well all around the company.
Absolutely. And then now you're a marked person for someone who's having impact and influence in the company. So now the senior management knows who you are and they recognize you. And that's a good thing because now when there's an opportunity for a promotion or opportunity to decide who should we keep when we're laying off employees, you're going to be a known commodity. But too often, there's so many employees in the company who do great work and no one knows about it. And it's such a shame because they work so hard, but they do such a poor job letting people know the impact and the value that they're bringing to their company that when it goes unnoticed, they get resentful, they feel lack of recognition, they start getting disappointed with the lack of success they're having, and the company is not getting the most out of them. So it can become quite the crisis.
I was with you until you said something about sharing your accomplishments with peers. And maybe it's the particular peer groups I was part of, but I'm not sure how that would have gone over. I think a lot of, you know, happy hour conversations, for example, degenerate quickly into complaining about the company. And if you share anything that's going really well, you're like raining on this complaint parade.
Well, the thing about peers are a little more difficult because they actually convey, they can sometimes convey even more impact than your bosses, since peers, they don't work for you and you don't work for them. So they kind of have an informal dotted line to you. And they feel more open to give unbiased opinions, but they also need to appreciate the work you are doing. They need to appreciate how well you can help them and how well you're helping yourself and how well you're helping the company. So what you want to do is you want to build a relationship first and foremost with your peers. Because if you can build a relationship, one based on rapport, connection, knowing about their family, who they are, and going out of your way to help them, going out of your way to look for ways to help them make their jobs easier. If you do that, you create more of a collaborative relationship. So then when you start to accomplish things and it make impact in the company and you let that be shared and known, they're not going to feel the awkwardness of it because they appreciate who you are because you have established that relationship.
I think if we can ask each other, what interesting things have you worked on lately, for example, we're spurring a positive conversation about what each other is achieving. My guest on the Career Clinic today is Joel Garfinkel. He is talking about how to promote yourself at work with all the negative things that I think a lot of us think of when faced with the prospect of doing that. When we come back, there is something very simple that you can do to make more of an impact in meetings. I learned it many years ago. It's a great tip. I can't wait to share it with you next on The Career Clinic.
The Career Clinic airs on great radio stations across the country, like WLTT-FM in Wilmington, North Carolina.
You go to a restaurant and the service stinks. The food is so-so. The atmosphere is unrecognizable. And you leave with this thought, this place would be amazing if I was running it. That sounds like someone who might be interested in one of the many franchise restaurant opportunities. But where does one start? I'm going to go with Jerry Polio at Franchise Futures. Jerry's a franchise consultant, and he's worked with quite a few folks who fit the situation I just described.
Many will come to us and they'll start with the food concept because that's how most people understand franchising, and there's nothing wrong with that. But we do understand that there's a lot of things outside of a food concept in franchising. That's where it started, and that's where most people understand it. It's certainly much more than a Google search. That's also a great place to start, but that becomes overwhelming also at some point because all of it starts looking the same and all looks very, very good because the franchise companies are excellent marketers, and that's what they're supposed to do.
You can see that the search for the right franchise is not a simple one, and it's going to require some expert help. That's what Jerry Polio does. And since the franchise companies pay his fees, the service is free to you. Maybe a restaurant isn't your thing. There are hundreds of other franchise options you might want to consider.
There's staffing and recruiting, anything to do with outsourcing. It seems that there's a big trend towards getting away from doing everything yourself in-house. It's almost becoming more profitable to get a professional to handle certain aspects of your business. Accounting and finance would fall into that.
Here's how to connect with Jerry. Just go to our website at thecareerclinic.com and click the link at the top of the homepage that asks if you want to start your own business. Again, that's thecareerclinic.com, where you'll find a link that asks if you want to start your own business.
When I was a corporate cub, my boss pulled me aside and gave me a pointer I'll never forget. He suggested when I speak up in a meeting, which wasn't often because I was in over my head and not very confident, I should ask myself, so what, about what I just said, and then say that. You can tell people things, but unless you tell them why you're telling them, they're likely to go, so what, for you. It isn't enough for me to say we have a consultant for two of the top consulting firms in the world joining us on the Career Clinic today. Joel Garfinkel worked for Ernst & Young in Hong Kong and Accenture in San Francisco. Accenture in San Francisco. So what? So you have them all to yourself today. That's what. And if you hang around for the rest of the hour, you'll have tools to get a promotion. That's what. Joel, I told my little story because one of your suggestions for being more visible at work is to constantly ask yourself, so what about whatever it is you're doing? If there isn't a good reason for doing it, some big impact it's having that you can chat people up about, it probably isn't worth your time. And I read recently that you never want to get too good at something that's important to the business but low visibility, because you'll probably get stuck doing it and the promotion will go to the person who isn't as needed in the real work department.
Well, it's interesting because I think that you do, I mean, when it comes to meeting, it's interesting because we spend over a third of our time at meetings. And what I notice is they're the best place to kind of show who you are and to display your knowledge and expertise. And I've noticed with my clients that when their visibility develops at meetings, the influential people start to take notice. And for example, there was a senior manager at the Starbucks corporate office, and they didn't really recognize the value this person brought to the company. He had a quiet, kind of passive style and nature, and senior staff members and influential people had no idea how valuable he really was, and he was. And the reason my client didn't speak up is because he was afraid that he may not be accepted if he disagreed publicly, afraid to make a mistake, say something wrong. So he avoided creating greater exposure for himself. And what he did is he only spoke when he knew he had something useful to say, which wasn't very often, because he was too scared to say anything. And the bottom line was he learned that speaking up often in meetings would yield two immediate benefits from the coaching we did together. Number one, that his ideas and points of view immediately created positive buzz and feedback. And two, he triggered a valuable exchange of ideas in the company. So that made him visible. And he started to see how much it enhances his ability and helped him improve how he was seen in the company.
I love that story, and I'm embarrassed at how cynical I also feel listening to it, because I don't think necessarily a lot of meetings play out that way in companies. And you just pointed out, Joel, something I'd never thought of with respect to meetings, and that is, isn't it like performance theater? It just feels like a lot of posturing.
You're correct, and it's too bad, because I have heard this so many times that I'm almost embarrassed to say it, but it's happened many, many times, and that is a woman's in a meeting, and I've heard this from men too, but a lot of women have shared this. They're in a meeting. They say or share something that they think is a pretty good added point to a meeting, and then 3 to 4 minutes later, a guy shares the same thing a little more demonstrative, and everyone runs with that idea and says what a great idea that is. And the woman said the same thing. So posturing, yes. So it's, in a sense, it's like who can speak the loudest, who can get their voice heard. And so you need to know how can I get my voice heard? What can I say? And sometimes it's choosing a topic ahead of time so that you can think of a topic or agenda item that you most likely will be addressed in the meeting and prepare for it so that you have that topic in advance and can share it to the discussion. Or it's asking questions. You can leverage your knowledge and expertise by probing more deeply into what others are saying by asking questions. And sometimes, you know, you want to do it early, too. You want to speak up early, the first 5 or 10 minutes, because if you don't, you're going to get too fearful and you're going to hold yourself back.
It's also where you sit and how you sit. You know, sit at important places around the table and command your presence. I mean, don't, like, curl up and have bad posture and look like you're trying to disappear.
That's true. I would say I often encourage my clients to sit next to their boss's boss, because their boss's boss is going to turn to them before the meeting starts and says, how are things going? And you don't just say, fine, thanks. You actually say, boom, there's a minute right there where you can give your elevator pitch around a project you're working on, the impact the project's having, an update on the project, and the success you're bringing to that project.
It'll be the most... Go ahead.
Right there, you make a huge impression.
It'll be the most productive few minutes of your day. Joel Garfinkel, my guest on the show today. Next up, how to get what you want at work.
Mm-hmm. Going into business for yourself can be an intimidating proposition, especially if you have no experience in running a business. Yet people do it all the time because they take the franchise route. Consultant Jerry Polio works with potential franchise owners to help them decide what type of business is the best match for them. It might be a service business like healthcare or bookkeeping. It could be a restaurant or a retail business.
One specifically is in a natural snack category. They're doing phenomenal. They built out three different types of business models at different investment levels, and they are doing just extremely well. And we've had several very, very successful placements with them in non-traditional retail locations, airports, train stations, turnpike, food courts, and things of that nature that have worked out extremely, extremely well.
To learn more, visit thecareerclinic.com and click on the link at the top of the homepage that asks if you want to start your own business.
To get what you want, as the saying goes, help others get what they want. This is really important at work. To get what you want at work, more responsibility, assuming that's what you want, more perks, more job satisfaction, help your boss get more of what she wants. Joel Garfinkel, author of Getting Ahead, 3 Steps to Take Your Career to the Next Level, joins us on the Career Clinic today. I'm your host, Maureen Anderson, and Joel, let's not keep people in suspense any longer. Let's talk about those 3 steps, starting with perception.
Yeah, the key thing about perception is that people are constantly judging, evaluating, and observing you, and you might as well know what that is because it's constantly there. They're sizing you up. What they see, notice, and observe, it matters. It makes an impression. Your behaviors makes an impression on others. And so I always advise my clients to ask, how are they being perceived in the company? It's a radical idea, but you'd be amazed how much you get feedback and how honest people are, so that you can take that information and work on improving the perception you have, which is already out there in the field, but if you don't ask, you're never going to know about it.
That doesn't sound easy to me. It doesn't seem like it would be easy for people to tell you the truth and for you to hear it.
It's not. A lot of times, the difficult part about it is that we're fearful what people might say. But you can, you'd be surprised. I think if you can choose the right time and the place to ask and explain why you're interested in learning how you're perceived. Like you could say something like, I want to make sure I'm projecting a professional image, Bob. You see me interact with customers and vendors when we've had problems. How do I come across in those situations?
And then reassure the person there's not going to be a downside for telling you the truth.
Oh, absolutely not. And be honest and say that I'm just, the key thing is you want to put yourself in a position where you're stating why you're doing it. And, it's like you could say, I'm doing a bit of self-evaluation and looking for some ways to grow my career. I talked to my boss already and felt it would be beneficial to speak to other people with whom I work. I want to know how you think I am performing and what your perception of me is. I value what you have to say. It could be as simple as that.
The person might be flattered.
You bring up a good point. Oftentimes they appreciate, first off, they're surprised by the honesty, and that drops everything down to a level of vulnerability and appreciation for the person that's asking. But then you get to learn, what do I do well, and what can I do better, and how am I perceived as a company, negatively and positively? And all this helps you so that you put yourself in a position, because it's one thing of how you're seen based on your performance review every year. It's another thing to ask your vendors, your clients, your peers, your boss, your subordinates. You're going to get some really interesting information. And you'll be, people are more honest than you realize, and that is the information you can use to help improve the perception so that you are being seen as someone who is making a difference in the company, and people have a positive perception of you. And when you have that, you have a greater chance of advancing the organization.
Another step to take your career to the next level is visibility. Is this where you suggest that people who have low visibility jobs, they're stuck in a cubicle somewhere writing code, volunteer to take on the United Way drive this year?
Yeah, what's interesting is that if you aren't visible, you won't be known. And when people don't see you enough, they forget about you. And so it is important that you have to have some initiative and courage. And take that initiative to put yourself out there and look for projects that you want to work on to get some visibility. Great example of this is the Ritz-Carlton Hotel, where I've spoken at and also have done some consulting work and coaching work with. And there was one situation where a waiter, just a waiter at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel, one of the restaurants, was walking by an elderly couple and overheard them saying, "I wish I could go down to the beach," because there was a bunch of steps leading to the beach. And the waiter heard this and was about to take a break, and then decided to go to maintenance because he realized when he looked back that the person was in a wheelchair and wasn't able to get down to the beach. And so he went to maintenance to help and asked maintenance to build a board leading all the way down to the beach so that they could take the wheelchair down to the beach. He did all of this. They, by afternoon, were down at the beach. And a great thing about this story is that the general manager of the whole entire hotel didn't even know about it, and he found out later. And the waiter took the initiative to do this. This is a waiter who was just doing his job but went beyond his job to do something that took initiative. It's things like that that you need to do in your job. That will gain visibility.
I bet he wasn't a waiter for much longer.
Yeah, I agree. It's true.
The last step is influence. My question about influence is, why is the receptionist in any office one of the most influential people you'll ever work with?
She's a gatekeeper. She's the one who, if you get on her good side, she can get you into opportunities and situations. And too often times you're trying to get on someone's calendar and you can't. And if she doesn't like you, you're not going to. If she likes you, there's a greater chance she can. And so what I find also is that it's not always authority that matters. You could have authority, you could have power, but if you don't have influence, it doesn't matter. And you'd be surprised. If you think about employees out there and management out there and leaders out there who have the power and authority but actually don't have the influence. And there's some people who don't have as much power and authority but have a tremendous amount of influence. Ultimately, the power and authority will catch up to them.
Getting Ahead, 3 Steps to Take Your Career to the Next Level. Author Joel Garfinkel joins us today. When we come back, how to help your boss give you the recognition you deserve. This is the Career Clinic.
Maureen and I, and our guest, of course, will continue our discussion in just a bit. As you may have noticed here on the Career Clinic in the last few months, we've been offering you sort of a crash course on franchise ownership. Helping us out with that is Jerry Polio, who is a franchise consultant and president of Franchise Futures in Houston. So many people consider owning and running their own business as a dream career choice. But with hundreds of different franchise businesses from which to choose, how do you know which one is best for you? I asked Jerry what category shows some promise.
There are certain categories that are just poised to do very, very, very well today and then going into, you know, probably the next 20 or 30 years. Number one is health and wellness. We have a consumer-driven society that has really started paying attention to taking care of themselves. So there are franchise concepts out there that work within that realm of, you know, healthy eating, exercise, and things of that nature.
Polio makes a good point. We're not getting any younger.
Home health care and elder care, that's a model that is exploding. Every day we're getting calls from people that are hearing that, you know, it's growing by leaps and bounds, and every 5 minutes or 10 minutes we're all getting older and there are more seniors. But there are concepts within that model that have really evolved and taken it to the second level. It's amazing.
Consultants like Polio are paid by franchise companies when their clients agree to invest in a franchise. He says it's important to use a consultant you can trust.
In all industries and business categories and business dealings, there are good and bad. I think it's important that you develop a rapport and you let your candidate know who you are, what your core beliefs are, and, you know, what they can expect by working with you. I let my candidates know right up front, listen, I am compensated by the franchise community. So when I make a successful placement, that's how I put food on the table and take care of my family. But I am not tied into one particular brand, one particular category. I think that's self-defeating, and I just don't think that brings the right perspective to the relationship.
Polio says a good franchise consultant will always put the client's interests first. In some cases, he says, the outcome of a consultation is that a franchise is not a good move for the client. In those situations, he doesn't get paid, but he is able to sleep at night knowing he did the right thing. And that's what you want and need from someone advising you about this kind of decision. We at the Career Clinic will be happy to connect you with Jerry Polio. Just go to our website at thecareerclinic.com and click on the link at the top of the homepage that asks if you want to start your own business. Again, that's thecareerclinic.com, where you'll find a link that asks if you want to start your own business.
The number one reason people leave a job, says a friend of mine who worked in human resources for most of his career, is because their boss is a jerk. John Poutier quickly adds that's also the number two and number three reasons. A lot is sometimes made about how much people get paid, but really, assuming you're getting a fair wage when compared with what other people in similar positions are getting, money quickly becomes a non-issue. What matters day-to-day on any particular job is whether you feel like you're making a difference. Your boss is either helping or hurting where that's concerned, but whether he is or isn't is largely up to you. Bosses don't have enough time to monitor your every move, and no one is as interested in how far you get in life as you are. So it's up to you to help your boss help you. My guest on the Career Clinic is Joel Garfinkel, author of Getting Ahead, Three Steps to Take Your Career to the Next Level. Joel, I think we'd like to think our bosses have our best interests at heart, but our bosses are people too, and they're like the best of us in that they're just really busy. You think it's our job, rather, to make their job of evaluating us easier.
It's true. This is such a concern I see so often as my clients, because I get to be on the front line of companies and see these situations show up, and that their boss ends up not doing the certain things that they want, and then they feel like they're kind of a victim. And I always say to them that you can't rely on your boss to be a great boss. You have to ask for the things you need and want, and you need to manage up. You need to understand what is important to your boss, what is needed for your boss, and you need to be able to give the impression and seek out the knowledge of what their needs are and what they're wanting, and ask for what you want so that you can get it. Oftentimes, a boss is wanting to help you. They just have no idea how to do it because there wasn't ever a manual or a process to show them how to be a great boss.
It reminds me of what it's like for parents. If you never had that modeled,
exactly,
you won't know how to be a good parent.
I
think it's okay to wish your boss was better at recognizing you. I think it's okay for about 5 minutes. And after that, it is, as you say, up to you to figure out how to get that person's attention in a way that keeps him or her updated without being annoying.
Yeah, I mean, the key thing is if you have weekly one-on-ones, you bring your accomplishments and impact and value that you're bringing, and you share that with them. And so, you know, bosses aren't great at providing recognition and appreciation, and you're right. That's more important than money oftentimes to keep people motivated. And so bosses need to realize that. But then the question is, how do you get that if your boss is really poor at doing that? And some of that is understanding what's important to your boss, what's important, the significant matters and projects for your senior manager or your boss that would make your boss look good. And as you target those, it'll make it more imperative and more your boss will take more initiative in actually providing you recognition because you're hitting the exact targets he wants you to hit, he or she. And so the expectations and clarity of what's important to the higher-ups, especially your boss, can make a big difference for them actually going out of their way to appreciating what you're doing.
I think
you can ask. You could actually go to your boss and say, hey, you know, what do you think of this project? Or you even could say, hey, I want a little more recognition and appreciation for the hard work I've done on this project. It was a big result.
I think it's a mistake to assume that you know what your boss wants. I mean, isn't that the first rule of working for anyone? Figure out what they need from you.
Absolutely. And even though we say this and people understand this, then they do their job and they start assuming. At some point in their working with their boss, 8 months into it, 2 years into it, they get kind of relaxed and they assume they know what their boss needs or wants. But until you walk in their shoes, put yourself in the exact situations that your boss is facing. Whether it's a boss, a CEO, try to try on their jobs. Do what they do. Think like they think. Because when you can do that, you can understand them better. And then you're not going to just understand what's important to them. You're also going to develop empathy for their circumstances and situation. And this is going to help you customize your message to them. And it's going to build your relationship with them even more.
But approach it like, how can I help you? This is what I'm up to. Is this what you most need me to be working on?
Exactly. And then sometimes people say, but I have too much on my plate, too many projects, it's too overwhelming. Then you sit there and you say, I got these five projects, they're all priority A. Which one should I be focusing on? So involve your boss in the process so that the direction you get is going to help you know exactly what's important, exactly what you should be working on, so you're hitting things out of the park every single time. And when you hit those home runs, recognition will come.
This works if your boss is a reasonable person. What if your boss is not?
That's you would say more than half bosses out there are probably pretty not unreasonable. they're not easy to work with. They're difficult. They're tyrants. They're challenging. And with bosses like that, the best thing you can do is don't let that boss dictate your career. I look to my clients to move to build relationships laterally with that boss's peers. Try to build a relationship with your boss's boss. Don't let that boss be the limit to your career success. Build relationships cross-functionally and build relationships with your boss's boss. Look for ways to proactively initiate conversations and situations so that other people are knowing what you're doing and why that's valuable to the company.
I agree, and I also wonder if a lot of us, myself included, haven't written people off as being unwilling to change without ever having tested that. I mean, it's tough to have a difficult conversation, but sometimes they work.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, if you come in there with some vulnerability and honesty, yeah, worst case scenario, you just shared yourself, but nothing changes. But something can sometimes change. Or sometimes I've seen a boss's boss get light of the situation and then put some pressure on your boss without undermining your relationship or undermining that you did that. But what is important is, yeah, lay it out, say what's going on, because your boss is doing behaviors he has or she has no idea what they're doing, and they're ignorant. So you're shedding awareness to their behaviors and the ripples and impact it's having on you. And when you do that, then they start to see, oh, I didn't know I was doing that.
Hmm. So don't necessarily take a boss's bad mood, for example, as a reflection on you. It likely has nothing to do with you, and that's a great life lesson.
I had a client just a couple days ago who had a situation where a woman for 2 years felt disrespected by another woman who was a peer. And we sat down, I did a mediation between the two of them, because she felt disrespected for 2 years, felt slighted, and it's because of this person's communication style was curt, his tone was direct, he was to the point, he didn't soften anything, and she felt disrespected because of how he treated her. But she didn't realize he treated everyone like this. She took it personally. And so when we sat down with all three of us and she realized that's just who he is, it helped soften the blow. And she realized he actually does respect her. He just is very protective of his team and is not as inclusive and collaborative with others.
Joel that Garfinkel, really my guest on the Career Clinic today. When we come back, the importance of taking notes to have a great career. Stick around for the rest of the Career Clinic.
Podcasts of the Career Clinic are available on our website. Just go to thecareerclinic.com.
What makes you, you? We're forever posing that question on the Career Clinic because if you can answer it, you can choose the career that fits, find the wife who won't annoy you to death, and nurture hobbies that enrich your life versus addictions that distract you from it. One thing that makes me me is I tend to forget the good things I did and remember only the ways I've fallen short. That's why I'm glad I got in the habit of, one, taking notes, and two, saving them. That way I can go back to a certain time in my life where I wasn't getting along with someone at work, for example, and remember I'd done everything I could to make nice. Or maybe I messed up, that part I always remember, but I also apologized, which I probably forgot, and was swatted away. Jotting down the good things you're doing for your company is a habit my guest on the Career Clinic today says you should get into. Joel Garfinkel is an executive coach, a popular public speaker, and the author of several books, including Getting Ahead, 3 Steps to Take Your Career to the Next Level. You can learn all about Joel's work at GarfinkelExecutiveCoaching.com. Joel, what's your favorite, I don't know if you call it a tool or a software program or an app, for keeping track of accomplishments?
Well, I have a list that if any of your listeners want to receive, they can just email me, Joel@GarfinkelExecutiveCoaching.com. And I could send them a blank copy of this form. It's how to track your value to the organization. And the key thing that we're doing with that document is it really is focusing on the business results you're achieving, the value provided to the company, fact-based, concrete details, specific feedback you receive from others, even quantifiable data. And so the key thing is looking at, you know, have I gotten some internal feedback? You know, positive comments from colleagues, and what are some of the outcomes I've achieved? And is there external client feedback? So it's, and responsibilities too. All these things you want to jot down. You want to be able to become increasingly aware of your achievements, and then it makes it easier for you to be comfortable sharing this and providing what you've done with others, and it helps you track it so that it's not just ready for you when you're doing a performance review. It's ready with you every single week when you're updating it.
Yeah.
So you're constantly on the forefront of your mind as you interact with others.
Because the stress of needing to come up with it when it's time to ask your boss for a raise is not going to help your memory any.
No. I mean, and that's often what happens. It's like people come to me and they're like, I have a raise I need to prepare for in a week. And it's like, you should have been preparing for that 5 months ago. So it's part of this list helps you keep fresh in your mind so you don't lose important and in-depth information. And it enhances your confidence because you see these accomplishments and you recognize what an impact you're making. And when it comes time to preparing for the raise you want, 5 months in advance, you're preparing this. So by the time it gets to the time to make the case, you have so many great points there. There's no way they're going to deny giving you what you want.
When career consultants say the best time to start preparing for the next job is from the very first day on this job, that's one of the things they mean. Get in the habit immediately of daily or at least weekly jotting down something that you did that mattered. I think it's a great tip for life to just have a folder. Maybe you print out an email with a glowing report from somebody, whatever, but just have a place where you stash all the nice things anybody ever said about you. And when you're having a bad day, there's no better pick-me-up.
Yeah, it's a good point. And I think that in some way, you're advocating for yourself and you're supporting yourself by having all these things documented. But the other thing it does that I think is really valuable is it gets you into the habit of seeing and focusing on the impact and value and the positive entities you're bringing to the company. And I recommend clients, you know, every Friday, 2 o'clock, you put in your Outlook calendar. The reminder pops up. You're like, okay, 15 minutes, 10 minutes at the most. You're going to look at your week, you're going to look at your emails, you're going to look at your meetings, you're going to look at what you accomplish. It takes you 5 or 10 minutes. You do that every Friday at 2 o'clock, 5 or 10 minutes, and then 2 months' time, you'll have like 4 or 5 pages of notes. But you got to get in the habit, it's only 5 or 10 minutes, but people are like, oh, I got to get so much other things done. No, do what I just said. That habit's going to be huge when it comes time to review or ask for a raise, or even when you're sitting next to your boss's boss and you got to come up with a great story. You have it in mind because you've been tracking it on a weekly basis.
Money in the bank, and your boss will thank you for not having to come up with it himself. Joel Garfinkel, thank you for spending an hour with us on the Career Clinic. You can learn more about Joel's work at GarfinkelExecutiveCoaching.com. That's GarfinkelExecutiveCoaching.com. And thank you so much for listening to this hour of the Career Clinic.
This broadcast is copyrighted by North Shore Productions. To learn more about the show, you're invited to visit thecareerclinic.com. You can read Maureen's blog or pass along suggestions for the program. I'm Cindy Weir. Thanks for listening, and tune in again next week for more great advice and inspiration on the Career Clinic.